This is CliffCentral.com.
Today, Justice Malala looks like he's actually just... something's hit him.
Mm.
So let's get right into this. Burning Platform with Justice Malala.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on CliffCentral.com.
So, Justice, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean... we were just saying, you're throwing in the towel, you've had enough. What's going on here? Yeah. You in a depression?
I'm feeling a bit low. You know, the news cycle can be tiring, actually.
Yeah.
Because we get it...
completely.
If you think about it, this country, just on Monday, you had court cases, you had... oh, you know, Shona Prams is going for this. No, Nomcobo Jiba is home free and... you know, it's, and then it's Tuesday, then it's Wednesday, and then today there'll be more, and then on Friday there'll be more, then the Sunday papers will have even more.
Ooh, it's almost as if we don't get a break.
I think I need a holiday.
We were talking to Gareth earlier this morning, and he was asking for a quick rundown of what's been happening in the country, and I said, well, you definitely need to listen to Justice when he comes in, because... you know, in the news, we saw all these images, Justice, on television. We saw them on social media of, you know, what looks like a war zone in Hammanskraal.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, take us right back to the beginning. How did all of this start? What stage are we at now? And how is this going to end?
Well, how is this going to end? Mabali, you know, I was particularly... drawn to the Hammanskraal story because I'm from there. Every time I come on the show and I talk about, oh, my mother in Hammanskraal. But Hammanskraal is actually quite a big series of villages. And for me, the events this week illustrate so much that we should all be careful about on the with the August 3rd elections coming up. First of all, those thousands of people who've set up their homes, their informal settlements, on that piece of land. By the way, it's just like 8 minutes from my mother's house, this village. It's the village 3 villages away. It's very close. It's a small, poor, semi-rural area. People are desperate, and that people are desperate enough to move into a barren piece of land without services, without anything, just shows you just how desperate people are. But what happened there is that all those people were adamant that we were given this piece of land. By who? By the local councillor. And they were saying the local councillor gave us this piece of land. We paid some money, some say 400 rand, some say 2,000 rand, whatever the amount is. But someone gave permission for those people. Someone in authority gave permission for those people to move in there and live there and set up houses and stands and so forth there. The question for me is, where was this person throughout this week as Hammanskraal burned?
Yeah.
Where was this person when Paul Mashatile, the MEC in Gauteng, went there and said, we're going to broker a deal? Why didn't anyone stop and say, who caused this whole thing? Because the Kekana chieftaincy, the Kekana royal family, as some refer to them, keep on saying, this is our land. Apparently, they got the court order to get those informal settlers removed. Now, when they first got the court order to remove these guys, if people were given notices, those guys say they weren't given notices. But we have a clear issue of law that this is Mabale Moloi's piece of land. Someone comes and squats on it. You get a court order. Now, the law works in a convoluted way. So it takes you 2 months, 3 months, 5 months to get the court order to get these people evicted. And when it finally happens, who allowed that person to come on them? There is something that's not being said about what happened in Hammanskraal. It's who is the local councillor who said to those people, you can move there because whatever. And so the rule of law, if it was applied correctly, someone should be in jail tonight. And that person is the councillor who allowed those people, who in fact didn't allow, said the Tshwane Council has approved this piece of land for habitation, and we're going to put in services, and if you give me 400 or 2,000 or whatever, it's going to happen. I haven't seen anyone talk about the rule of law, because the rule of law would have said, you know what, you can't lie to people like that. You can't do that. So as a first, as a beginning, residents who are protesting, who gave you this piece of land? Then let's arrest you, put you in jail. Then let's solve the problem.
Are these residents not able to name this councillor?
Well, I haven't seen this councillor named. Excuse me. If you go just 10 minutes down the road to my mother's village, I can tell you who my mother's councillor is. It happens to be someone I grew up with who's been one of my best friends since I was a kid. So I can say, you know what, Joseph Mohale, you guy, you did this, if it was him. But it's not him, because it's another village, it's a different ward. So I would like to know where the ward councillor for that area is. And so this brings me to something that Julius Malema said yesterday. Julius Malema said, why do you keep on voting for the same people if they do these things to you? You know, in that village, the ANC wins by upwards of 90%. In my mother's village, the ANC wins by upwards of 90%. Well, it's about 85%. In fact, 88%. Every election, if it's below 90%, the ANC in the village starts moaning. Oh, what have we done? Something is wrong. 90%. So those people who now have a councillor who said, settle on this piece of land. What I find interesting, and what I will find interesting, will be to go and see on August 3rd how they vote, who they vote for. I suspect that councillor may be returned. That could happen. And so I'm not sure about what is the meaning of moving forward and moving backward. What messages are going to be sent by this? So there's several things about Hammanskraal for me. It's one, the rule of law. Someone should be going to jail for having broken the law and given out parcels of land that they didn't own, that the council doesn't own, out to people. That's a first for me. Secondly, Paul Mashatile can't go there and say, oh, you know, the court ruled that these people must be removed, and I am the MEC. I'm going to arrive, and I'm going to say, no, let's talk about it. You stay on this piece of land. So who, the private owner of that land, what recourse do they have when a politician comes along and says, no, I say, you guys do this? Where was the politician over the past 5 months when this problem was boiling and boiling and boiling and boiling? They weren't there. And so I think it's problematic for politicians to be taking over what is essentially a matter of law. I'm not saying actually that we should just kick out the indigent and so forth. But I think when it comes to a point of law, politicians need to be careful that it's no longer just, oh, you know, Mabala came and set up a shack on my piece of land, and so I'm going to follow what Mabala does. Mabala should have followed some rules and regulations and got a piece of land too. I just think there is let's forget about the law now. The guys are here, and so, you know, let's just settle down.
So, Justice, in the middle of all of this, while the politicians are still, you know, backing and forthing with each other, and, you know, when the law steps in, dishing out court orders and eviction notices and all sorts of things, what happens to the people who were actually evicted? What happens to them?
According to the task team and the sort of agreement put together yesterday, they're basically back on those pieces of land.
Okay.
And they will stay there. I interviewed Housing Minister, Human Settlements Minister, Lindiwe Sisulu. One of the problems I have with the way we build houses in South Africa is that first Ben goes and puts up a shack. And then we say it's on the banks of the Yaxkei River. We know winter, summer's coming. It's going to rain. Mm. And it's going to get flooded. Mm. And then that shack gets flooded, and your kids drown or whatever. Or there's a fire because the shacks are too close to each other. But instead of saying, we're going to enforce the law, and make sure that Ben actually moves to a nicer place, a place with services in Alexandria, and we build those. We must build those. We come to Ben's shack on the banks of the Yaxke and say, oh, we'll get you electricity and so forth. So we follow, laws get broken and proper rules and regulations get broken. Instead of saying, no, here's an alternative, you have to move to the alternative. We say, no, I'll bring you electricity on the banks of the Yaxke. What is going to happen? Without a shadow of doubt, there will be, the rains will come in November and it will get flooded. So what's happening in Hammanskraal is on a bigger scale exactly the same thing. People have settled the land and now we're going and saying, oh, you know, we don't say the person who you say gave you this piece of land was absolutely outrageous and they're going to jail. Two, you guys, this is private land. If the private landowner says, no, you cannot settle here, we will find you a serviced piece of land owned by government, and you will move there. But what are we saying? We're saying, oh, no, you stay, we'll find a solution. So we're going to go, we're going to put in services, it's going to be all okay, and so forth. And what does the person in Zandspruit say? Says, oh, those guys bent tires and blocked roads and so forth and so forth. I'm going to do it too because they got what they wanted, and someone else does it, and what do you have? I always quote this number, 14,700. Remember it. That's the number of unrest incidents reported to the police in the year to March last year. Why? We're becoming a society that knows that if I start burning up this studio, Mabale and Ben and Gareth and everyone else will listen to me. It can't be that way. It's got to be a point where it says, you know what, Justice, if you want something, you make your case, you don't go to work, or you withdraw your labor, whatever it is, and then you'll get a result. Not you burn up the whole thing. And that's what's happening basically in Hammanskraal. I'm sorry to say I am from there and I have huge sympathy with many of the protesters and what they stand for. I think it's totally, absolutely terrible to, right in the middle of winter, to go and evict people and so forth and so forth. But also, I have to weigh against the rule of law and other issues. And I think that's where sometimes we miss the point. What's going to happen today? There is another community which is going to be doing exactly what happened in Hammanskraal. And what are we going to do? We're going to go and say, it's okay, you've done enough of this, we will do exactly as you wish and as you want.
It's a very dangerous domino effect here, but it's like you say, if it's been working here, it'll work somewhere else.
It will. And I have to say, we have just a few months to go to August 3. And what's going to happen is that communities, you're going to see more and more protests of this nature every day until August 3, because people believe they have leverage. The ANC will run in, as Paul Mashatile did, and say, I'll set up a task team, I'll listen to you, and so forth and so forth. Because Paul Mashatile wants the ANC to get 90% in those villages in Hammanskraal, and so he makes a political deal. But is a political deal always the right deal? No, it's not, because the problem will be here on August 4. And he won't be running there because he'll have got the vote. What happens then? What's the lasting solution to the problem in Hammanskraal?
Yeah, it's true. It's all superficial stuff. It's like election, yeah, let's get this done.
Yeah, yeah.
Tick the boxes and we move on.
Yeah. But the problem is not going to go that way on August 3. And that, for me, is where real solutions to real problems are needed.
Yeah. Well, speaking longer term, what's happening with Tui Madonsela and successor in that one?
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to put this out to all our listeners everywhere, that the process has started. A committee has been named to find a new public protector and recommend to the president. I just want to say,
I love the first part of that sentence. The second part got me worried.
Let's not forget that Tui Madonsela was appointed by President Zuma.
Yeah.
I think it's about the process. How many people say, you say Tui Madonsela and people just melt and are so happy. If you look at the interviews you guys have done here, I think the Tui Madonsela interview is one of the top interviews you've ever done. Mm. And it's one of those, as an institution, it is the institution in South Africa. It makes you proud to be South African. You can go anywhere in the world and say, we've got Thulima Donsela, so we, okay. Now, a lot of people are, you know, just depressed that she's leaving in October. It's, oh, it's the end of the world. What's going to happen without Thuli? People can influence that. People can influence who comes after her.
How?
You need to join up, for example, with an organization like Corruption Watch, which is saying it's not about Thuli leaving. It's about who replaces her.
Mm.
So let us get the voice of the of ordinary South Africans into influencing those people. So nominating new people. If you think, oh, you know, Deputy Chief, former Deputy Chief Justice Dikgamo Seneka should be the guy, then lobby. Work with people like Corruption Watch and say, we will going to put up a petition for those 11 MPs to get that name and to interview this person and tell us why, or why they didn't choose him, or why they are choosing him. You don't want a situation where, I remember once people were being nominated for the SABC board, and the names were being faxed from Esop Pahad, who was the minister in President Mbeki's office. Names were being faxed from his office by one of his minions. And it was supposed to be an open process from the general community, and it wasn't. So this time, South Africans have to show that they're actually active citizens. So, you know, Ben for public protector, then you and I have to start writing in, sending in his CV, saying this is why he should be the person, and making sure that those MPs actually do a job that is above board, that will give us a public protector who will continue the traditions and values that this public protector has embedded in that office.
Would you see any sort of outstanding potential here? Is any people have been put forward already?
A lot of people are talking about Vusi Pikoli. They're saying Vusi Pikoli has been absolutely amazing as the police ombudsman in the Western Cape. He stood up for the rule of law when he was the head of the NPA. That he is not someone who, you know, who takes orders from above. He has proven himself to be an independent person by all accounts. So that's a name that's been heavily bandied about. People have been feeling very sad about the departure of Dikgamo Seneka from the Constitutional Court, and they're saying he must go. He must be nominated. I don't know if he's got the appetite for that. After being a Chief Justice, I'm also not sure about the rules that govern what one can do after being a judge. So I'm not quite sure. So those are two names that have been put about. There have been some other names, but not as prominent.
Just out of interest, do we know what kind of job spec is required to fill the position of public protector in this country?
There is a job spec, yeah. Actually. I haven't looked at it closely, but there is a job spec that's pretty general. So it could leave you with a dance, and it could leave you with a spectacular person. So I think one of the things that Corruption Watch has underlined is, let's get people with a track record of independence, of respect for the law, of a track record of being able to respect the law but not be intimidated by politicians, whoever they might be. Someone who's not party political, someone who won't end up being a lackey of some or other political party or politician. And I think that's the key thing. But there is a job spec somewhere.
Well, I think that's an important message to get across, Justice, because you know, as South Africans, we love to moan. It's our favorite pastime, and we're very good at that. But when it comes to being active citizens, and here's an opportunity for us to get involved and to influence who the next public protector is.
Yeah. It's a committee of 11 that's going to make the selection. It's 6 ANC MPs. It's 2 DA. It's 1 EFF, I think. It's 2 other parties sort of club together and they nominate 2. So those 11 are the ones that people need to start identifying and saying, okay, you 11 are going to give us and must give us someone who is as good as Tuluma Doncella or better.
Or better, yeah. All right, well, Justice, you do have to go shortly, but I did think that it was important for us to get you to comment on the president's wives and the allegation that up to 9 million rand was spent buying, you know, vehicles for the spouses. You know, the opposition party would have loved this because it gave them another opportunity to, you know, to do their job. What's your take on all of this?
I just want to say, first of all, guys, you know, in 2007, when the ANC elected Jacob Zuma in December, on December 18, I think it was, in Polokwane, they knew exactly who Jacob Zuma was. There was no, you know, they knew his personal circumstances, the things he had done, his weaknesses and so forth. So, in a way, I respect the ANC. What's the song? You guys know these country songs.
No.
Stand by your man.
I think that was actually on Sia's request list for today.
So there you go. So, you know, the ANC has stood by its men with all the issues, problems, whatever that he's come with. South Africans, I want to say, South Africans, you're all listening. In 2009, in May, you elected Jacob Zuma, and you knew that he has so many wives, he is this, he is that, he is that. So today when I hear people saying, oh, but how can you spend 9 million rand on his wives? You could have sent, so how many kids?
I don't
116
know.
116 kids.
160, I think. Something like, how many kids could we have sent to university? Fees must fall. And I say to you, stand by your man. Because you knew. We all knew. 2014. We all knew. Again, we didn't vote for him once. We voted for him twice.
So you're saying we're getting exactly what we deserve.
We're getting exactly what we knew. We knew. This is not... for me, I see the story and I see the question that the DAMP put to the president and the answer that got to Nathi Nhleko, and I see the answer coming and I say, man, stand by your man because you voted for him in 2014. No, but seriously, I'm not surprised by the answer to the question and I'm sure the DA knew the answer before they asked the question. And that's the key thing here. You ask the question that it's what lawyers do all the time. You ask the question that you have the answer to, not the one that you don't have, because that might throw you out a bit. So they asked the question that they knew the answer. They got the answer and then they start weeping that, oh. And I say, stand by your man. So I'm not surprised by Jacob Zuma's 9 million rand. I think it's amazing that, I picked this up somewhere, that the family, the spouses, did receive cars in 2013. And these cars that the police ministry seems to have acquired, I knew. So, you know, I'm starting to think maybe all South Africans should start changing their cars every couple of years.
I'd be happy to do that if the economy allowed me to, Justin.
It's a good idea.
Thank you.
And bigger cars too.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Thank
Why
you.
Must I drive my little scuffed car?
You know, I mean, As the elections loom closer, I find it particularly fascinating that the ANC doesn't seem to think that these things will matter to the people who did vote for it in 2014-2009. I think the ANC is going to get a clap for all these kinds of things emanating from the president's office. No matter what happens, the thing is, these things matter, and they keep on piling up and piling up around President Zuma. And so that is why President Zuma today, his personal approval rating among South Africans is in the low 20s. South Africans just find the whole, all the shenanigans around the president just sad and embarrassing. So, you know, Julius Malema was in Mpumalanga yesterday banging on about Jacob Zuma is the blesser-in-chief, and he's using taxpayers' money to bless his wives. And
you've got to hand this to Julius, eh? He's quite contemporary with his politics.
He's out there. He's really out there. So, you know, and do you blame him? You can't blame him, because he's using exactly the weaknesses that Jacob Zuma has. Should the spouses of the president be protected? Yes. Should they be receive cars and so forth? Yes. But it was interesting for me that David Cameron's wife received a car on the same day.
Yeah.
And it was a second-hand car. he negotiated the price down as much as he could.
Yeah, it's quite funny. When Jay-Z wants a car, he'll tell Cabinet. When David Cameron wants a car, he goes Auto Trader. Exactly. He gets online. He starts reading reviews.
So, you know, I mean, the comparisons aren't always perfect, but when you live in this country and you drive to the studio as we do, and every street corner in Sandton has some child, whatever their circumstances, begging for money for food, and you have on the other hand this sort of let them eat cake attitude, it shows an incredible sense, lack of awareness of who we are and what we are, and where we, how our minds, our consciousness should situate itself. So, you know, I mean, I laugh at the cars and all that, but that sense that, you know, we are, that those in power are now royalty rather than elected representatives is underlined by this sort of expenditure. It's underlined by the Minister of Defense going in a plane belonging to the Defense Force, Defense Ministry, to Burundi or to the DRC and picking up someone who is friends with her kids and bringing them into the country without documentation. It's a sense of, what are you people saying? Just shut up, because we are kings and queens, not elected representatives. That is just, it's, if you believe in holding people to account, just these two incidents show you that there is a huge sense among some of our politicians that actually we are untouchable, and because we are in power, we are royalty, not servants of the people. And I think that is deeply, hugely problematic.
Yeah, that title, public servant, seems to have fallen away quite a lot. Eh?
And that is a big, for me, that is a matter of massive, it's a big problem.
Justice, well, I think that's all we've got time for today. There's always like a bit of a theme to the messages we get about you. Today, I'm going to address the one of politics. Graham says, always great listening to you, Justice, politically. Are you available politically? Graham wants to know.
This is not the first time this question has been asked.
I've been scared of it. Justin says exactly the same thing. I would vote for this incredible gentleman, no matter his party. He makes so much sense, speaks so much truth. justice, is that in your future?
No, 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 absolutely not. No, but thank you, but no, 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 no.
Okay, see, you ask him that, he becomes Bladen Zamandi.
No.
All right, Justin, thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
Gareth will be here next Thursday.
Yeah, it'll be. I think the ship's running fine, perfectly without him. Let's just let the Americans take him.
In fact, let's just lock all the doors so he can't come back in once he's back in the country.
Well, we've been spreading rumors how he's gone, and we changed the name, so when he comes back, it'll be a very different sign.
Mabale Central.
Yeah. Well, at the moment, that's the most popular. Cool, Justice. Catch you next weekend.
Bye.
Thank you, Justice.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.